Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, getting the playbooks from the billionaires, the millionaires, the entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers have been our game for 13 years and over 2,600 episodes. And today I have one of my mentors, someone who sits in a situation I only dream of being in. And I continually ask him, not just for me, but for our entire community, for directions on how to get to where he is, the incredible Dr. Ivan Meisner. Welcome back to Office Hours.
Thank you, David. It's good to be on. And thank you for the kind words. It's very nice of you. I really appreciate it. And I have to say, I am living the dream. You know, I'm a 20-year overnight success. It took a long time to get to where I am today. But it's now been almost 42 years since I started BNI. And the organization now has over 11,794 groups in more than 75 countries around the world.
Unbelievable.
And, I know. It's
I've been a student of yours from so many of those years. I was a 20-year huge overnight success and then a two-week failure. And then now it took me another 20 years to get back to where I wanted to be and the lessons that I've learned. And one of those lessons was to ask for help. And with that many people in chapters, countries, helping millions of professionals build meaningful business relationships and generate what is truly the heartbeat of business, which is referrals, people buying from you and selling for you. Not a complex concept, but it is complex to get done. Where do you see the similarities? Obviously, everyone's looking for the differences today with AI and social media. I believe that a lot of the things that got me to where I wanted to be in networking when I was 24 years old still are the same behaviors that get me to where I want to be today at 58.
Yeah, they're very similar. Look, you have to make adjustments, certainly with technology as it is, you know, implemented into the business world. But it's still about relationships. I mean, it's still about community. We're living in probably the most technologically connected time in human history, yet many people feel isolated. And that's why community really matters. And that's certainly what we've tried to do in BNI. And there are many other networking organizations that are about community, you know, chambers, service clubs like Rotary Lines, Kiwanis, those are all about community.
And these characteristics today, I always say there's really three things I'd encourage. I have four children to start doing. One would be read. That helps us distinguish what's real and what's imaginative. It develops imagination, but also just distinguish what's real and imaginative. Two is AI, of course. If they're not practicing that, it'd be foolish. But the third one, I think, is relative to the core competency of what you teach. And it's I put it in the frame of, I teach my kids to knock on doors, you know, and I just find that that unique skill set is going to be a differentiator in the future, that less and less kids are knocking on doors. How important is it to not only know how to knock on doors, but to get people to answer or call us back?
Well, I mean, I'm more of a relationship oriented person. I used to, what a lot of people don't know was that like 42, 43 years ago, I trained a Salesforce how to do cold calling. And I did it long enough to know that I don't want to ever do it again for the rest of my life. It works, but it's painful. I generally recommend if you have to cold call, fine. If you have to knock on doors, do what you got to do. Sometimes you got to do what you got to get to do what you want to do.
Yes.
So
great lesson, right? Yes.
At the same time, you want to immerse and engage in referral relationships. You want to go to those chambers of commerce, those service clubs, professional associations, groups like BNI, where you're meeting people, you're shaking hands, you're having conversations. And those are the people then that refer business to you. And what people have to know is that it takes time. My latest book, the title's Networking's a Marathon, Not a Sprint. And it's really true. It's a marathon. Networking's not a get rich quick scheme. It takes time.
Yeah. And then one of the nice things about getting older that I have found is that there are people who are searching for that overnight success. And yet the majority of my business comes from things that happened 13 years ago, 20 years ago, and it keeps aggregating into this community that not only buys from me still, but sells for me. And it's quite often every week someone calls, and I'm sure with as many chapters as you have, so many people are former members or referring people into the membership and referring business into the membership as well. Right. Attachment to these outcomes, wanting fast results, is probably the biggest detriment to networking, right? In two respects. One, we either meet someone and we want a relationship that we don't have, and so we really just become a favor, and being a favor doesn't get referrals. Or two, we're not willing to continually show up so that we can start getting referrals. And so you just can't come to one meeting and expect these things to happen. But people are attached to the outcomes. How can we manage that expectation that it's not a sprint, that your behaviors are what's going to outlast, outconnect, and outperform the competition, not the results you get immediately?
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem is that we don't teach this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. So when people are out there networking, they use it as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. Hi, David, my name's Ivan. Let's do business. And, you know, or worse yet, they'll, you know, I've met so many people, and you probably have had this too. They'll hand you two or three business cards and they'll say, you know, here's a few of my cards. Maybe you could give some to people you know. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what was your name again? I don't even know you. I'm not going to refer. I don't say this. It's internal dialogue. But I'm thinking, I'm not going to refer you. I don't even know you. And so people say it never hurts to ask. They're wrong about that. There are times where it hurts to ask. You have to have the relationship. Somebody has to know, like, and trust you before they're going to refer business to you. And I think that's where people really get it wrong in networking. I'll tell you a true story. Years ago, I went to an event. It was a public event, and I was a keynote speaker, and there were 900 people. And I saw a lot of people. They were face-to-face cold calling. And so I asked everybody in the room, I said, how many of you are here hoping to, you know, maybe just possibly sell something? Raise your hand. David, 900 people raised their hand. I said, great. Second question, how many of you are here hoping to, you know, maybe just possibly buy something? No one raised their hand, not a single person. So this is what I call the networking disconnect. People show up wanting to sell, but nobody's there to buy. So why go? You go to work your way through the VCP process: visibility, credibility, profitability. You have to get to credibility before you're going to get referrals from people. And that's why you go to networking events.
Why do you think so many people overlook credibility, though, including when they actually are pitching? It's amazing they haven't taken the time to practice, to think about. I call it a fine-tooth comb of credibility. When I'm practicing something, it could be for a speech or an interview or a pitch, I want to make sure that I'm very clear and credible, because a lot of times people are unintentionally creating skepticism. And unfortunately, once we have let that cat out of the box, all they do is look for what may not be true, instead of having that credibility of, wow, Ivan really seems to articulate the truth. He's been vulnerable and transparent about everything. He hasn't oversold me, back-end sold me, lied or manipulated me in this conversation. I'm now just looking and thinking, wow, these are facts, not, I wonder where the secret is hidden.
Well, there's sort of two streams here we're talking about. We're talking about sales and we're talking about referrals. And so on the sales, you know, it's okay to be, if you're talking to someone that has interest, any kind of interest in your product or service, it's okay to, you know, talk to them about what it is that you have to offer and go there a little quicker. I recommend that people do what Andy Bounds, who's a good friend of mine, he calls the afters. Don't talk about what you do. Talk about what their life will be like after you do what you do. And so, you know, I think that's what you do in a sales environment. In a referral environment, it's just about getting to know that person, moving from visibility to credibility. And what tends to happen is the people, there's a fourth stage I kind of alluded to, and that's invisibility, you know, where I don't know you at all, or you don't know me at all, and you're trying to jump over visibility, jump over credibility, and ask for referrals, which that never works. What can work, though, is that when somebody says, hey, I'm interested in your product or service, then you can be more direct.
Speaking of interest in that way, I always have created what I call this value template for these networkers. And people would ask me, well, what do I talk about? I said, first of all, you know, see if you're dealing with an open mind. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make in networking is they have to make sure we're at the right time, emotion, and value. And so, you know, make sure you get a response of a smile and a silly question to just a level set. Am I dealing with an open mind? Because if it's dealing with a closed mind, it's 1,000 times the energy to network with a closed mind than it is an open mind. And then two, I have 3 things that I kind of look for so that I can be of value as a networker. One, take a subject, topic, or expertise. Let's say that I'm in the business of sports marketing. I like to bring up, you know, what do you know? What do you know about it? What don't you know about it? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? And what works for you and what doesn't work for you? Because if I can figure out any capability of, would it help you if I was able to introduce you to this person, do this for you, provide you this, I now have expedited that credibility into some sort of emotional connection and relationship.
So there are multiple layers in what you just said that I love. One of which is, you know, ask questions. You know, when you're talking to somebody for the first time, ask them questions. I mean, like if I were just now meeting you, I would say, you know, the playbook, tell me about the playbook. Why, you know, where's that come from? How's that? That's a really interesting concept. So I would get you to open up and talk about that. And I think the other thing that you want to consider is the issue of referring people. You know, who are you looking for? Asking them, who are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Once you start feeling comfortable with the person. Absolutely true story. I was doing an interview on the radio and I said to the person, you know, one of the techniques that works really well when you're feeling comfortable with somebody is, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? And the talk show host said, oh, that old phrase, that never works. And I didn't want to get into an argument. We were in a live radio. Right. It wasn't being recorded. So I'm like, oh, okay. But at the end of the interview, we're talking and I said, so, you know, what kind of people are you looking for to bring in to do interviews? And he named a few people. And I said, well, gee, I know that person. Would you like me to make an introduction? And he's like, you know that person? Yes, please. That would be fantastic. And I said to him, and that's how you say, how can I help you without using those words? And he's like, touche. You're absolutely right.
So brilliant. And there's another phrase that people, I think, also have a hang up with. And it's, do you know anyone that can help me?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a timing issue, but I had to add that to my repertoire because I always thought, you know, if I just gave value, then it would automatically come back. But if people don't know how they can help you, a lot of times you don't get the help that you need. And if you're in a position of credibility and you've already provided value, one of the most valuable questions that I ask, which is inclusive of the person I'm talking to, is, do you know anyone that can help me? I'm looking for really good guests for my show. I know timing is an issue, but is that an adequate, appropriate question to ask in networking?
100% if you're a credibility.
Right.
If you're just a visibility, you know, they may or may not feel comfortable referring. You see, but when you give a referral, you give a little of your reputation away. If you give a good referral, it enhances your reputation. But if you give a bad referral, it hurts your reputation. So when you're talking to somebody, if you feel like, and by the way, it's not how you feel the relationship is, it's how they feel the relationship is.
Mark, yes.
So if you're pretty confident that they feel you're at credibility with them, then that's absolutely a good question to ask. As a matter of fact, I take it a step further. I tell certainly BNI members and other people networking, because our philosophy in BNI is giver's gain. If you want to get business, give business. Well, you know, you can do that, but at some point you need to also have the person reciprocate. It needs to be a reciprocal relationship at some point. Not immediately, not transactionally, but relationally. And so one of the things I say is if you've given a referral, if you've given several referrals to somebody over time and they haven't given you any, sit down with them and say, instead of saying, you know, I've given you 3-4 referrals, you haven't given me any, say, this referral I gave you 2 years ago, how'd that work out? And this referral I gave you 9 months ago, how did that work out?
The after. Then,
yeah, get them to talk. And by the way, and if they say, well, you know, none of them worked out, well, then you've got to change what you're going to ask. Or, you know, right. Your question then should be, okay, how can I give you better referrals? But if they say, oh, this one worked great and that one worked great, then it's perfect timing to say, you know, it would be great if you and I could talk now about how you might be able to send some referrals my way. And when you lay it out that way, people are much more receptive.
It's so true. One of the things that I created that does really well is a unique perspective in networking. It's called an overlap agreement. It's an agreement that's utilized after credibility in a relationship is formed. But instead of having a referral agreement, we have an overlap agreement, which is a non-binding intentional agreement that says, I will do my best to find this type of business, especially because of technology today. And depending on the situation, I will try to have a 10% finder's fee for any, you know, anyone that you find for speaking engagement. My goal is to give you 10%, but we'll have a conversation. And I found that these mutual overlap agreements where I know that my dentist is going to give me a Starbucks card for referring a family. He knows I'm going to give him 10% for referring me a speaking engagement to the best of my ability. But I had an interesting conversation that drove me to this. I had, you know, referral agreement with someone, and I found out he didn't pay me. And it wasn't for a lot, but it caused a rift in my relationship. And I brought it up and said, hey, look, it's not the money. It's just, we agreed that we'd help each other and we compensate each other for that help. And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you what happened. That family came in here and they were having financial difficulty. And so I did it for free for a favor for you.
Oh, and see, this is why it's important to have the conversation.
Yeah. And so that overlap agreement allows the open-ended, non-binding, comfortable situation of saying, hey, and also it's searchable. So if I didn't remember what I promised, you know, because memory is a problem, not trust. If I didn't remember, I promised Ivan that I'd give him this for bringing me that, I could have some difficulty. So it's easy for me to search because I have an overlap file that has all of these non-binding and it's also not legal. So you can use an email that just says, hey, I'm going to try to do this. You're going to try to do this. And let's have a conversation about the opportunity to see where it really fits in. So,
What I love about that is you had this diplomatic kind of conversation with the person and found, and you went into it thinking he didn't live up to his end of it. And you ended up finding, he really edified you by saying, this is my friend, I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
That's the way to handle referrals.
It's funny because then I was kind of aggravated with my friend who got it for free. But then I realized they're probably embarrassed that they're having financial. You know, there's so many different stories that we tell ourselves. Yeah. How important is it, though, you know, we don't try to outthink what the other person thinks? You were saying, you know, if you think and feel, you have to have some of that. But I find a lot of people inhibit business because they try to think what other people think instead of being diplomatic or curious and asking these questions, which you do so eloquently as well.
Well, I think you're right on the money. It's very important to have conversations with people. And that's why one-to-ones are really important. You know, if you don't live near each other, a Zoom one-to-one, but if you're near each other, you know, go out for coffee, go out for a glass of wine, whatever. But one-to-ones are really important. And we teach one-to-ones in BNI using a system called the Gains Exchange, goals, accomplishments, interests, networks, and skills. And so I share those with you, you share those with me. And what we found, we have hard data on this, that people who do one-to-one a month compared to people who do 4 one-to-ones a month. So one a week versus one a month. The people who do one a week give almost exactly 100% more referrals than the people who do one a month. But here's the beautiful part. They receive almost exactly 100% more referrals. So it's that communication that's so important, that in-person or at least Zoom in-person communication that makes all of the difference in the world.
And you've made all the difference in the world building the largest business networking organization in the world, not only providing an opportunity to network, but empowering people on how best to network. And so not only do you provide fish, you teach them to fish along the way as well, which makes you just an extraordinary leader, especially in our space. Dr. Ivan Meisner, please promise me it won't be another couple of years till you come back. We have so many more shows today, and you have poured such great value into our community. Check out the official BNI podcast. If you want to learn how to network and want a great networking organization, they're in, I think, 77 countries. So you definitely can find them easily. Just go to BNI. It's easy to find. The founder at BNI, the incredible Dr. Ivan Meisner, thank you so much for pouring into us with your playbook.
Thank you, David. Can I leave you with one last thought?
Absolutely.
I think your network is a beacon of hope in a sea of fear. We live in a crazy world, but when you have your network around you supporting you, they can help you get through anything. And I've seen that for the last 42 years.
Brilliant. Nothing better than people buying from you and selling for you for life to help you along the way. Thank you again. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.